You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. Delighted to say, joining me and Pete today for his first appearance on the show, an Evertonian, all the way from Wales. Lee will be devastated he's missing out because Lee is a fellow Welshman. And that is Chris Hume. Chris, how are you this morning?
Yeah, not bad. A bit tired. I was watching UFC for my other show, so I was writing notes and stuff. So I think I was up till about 4 or 5 in the morning. So a bit tired, but over the moon with obviously with the Everton score yesterday and the performance.
Of course, mate. And we're going to come on to that, obviously, fairly quickly today. Great to get back on the winning trail, but Tell our listeners a bit about your other bit of work that you do, because you've got a fight channel, haven't you?
Yeah, it's called Big Fight Weekly. Me and my cousin, another fellow Evertonian, we started it about this time last year through the lockdown, and never looked back. Really, it's been really good. We analyse not just UFC, the Bellators, the ONE FCs. We go into boxing. Yeah, pretty much just combat sports altogether. We've had a few guests on. We had Steve Robinson. Don't know if you know who that is. He fought yesterday on the boxer card on Sky Sports.
He came as Ivan Drago.
But we had a quite funny conversation about that. You know what I mean? How he really looks like him, and we're asking him, did his men meet? Did he meet him at like some sort of Comic Con? Because it's uncanny how much he looks like Ivan Drago. Big Newcastle fan as well, actually. Yeah, it's just that. It's just a bit of fun. We enjoy it. With everything going on in the world, it's nice just to sort of have a conversation and have a laugh without any sort of constraints.
Exactly right, mate. Yeah, exactly right. And it's, UFC, mixed martial arts, is growing all the time. It's massive anyway, but it seems to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Obviously, Evertonians will be well aware of Monty McCann.
Yeah.
He's doing fantastically well himself in the UFC and fighting again shortly. Where can he find you, mate? On social media?
You can find us at Big Fight Weekly on Twitter. You can find us Big Fight Weekly on YouTube. We're on TikTok, apparently. I think my cousin covers TikTok. I have no clue, when it comes to TikTok, how to use it. I think he covers that base. We're on Instagram at Big Fight Weekly as well. We're already sort of coming onto these platforms. We've been strictly sort of Facebook and YouTube for a good like 11 months. It's only like over Christmas where we took a break. We thought maybe we should start, divulging into sort of other social media platforms, sort of get our name out a bit more. But yeah, that's where you can find us, basically.
Fantastic. So everyone listens to us, if you're into your mixed martial arts, your boxing, make sure you follow Chris and his social media handles. Give the videos a watch as well. But let's move on. Let's move forward. Goodison Park yesterday, Frank Lampard's first game as Everton manager. The first game I've been to for the majority of the season when I was probably looking forward to entering the ground. The feel around had changed over the last week or so. FA Cup fever had certainly hit Goodison Park. People couldn't get tickets for love nor money unless you're a Brentford fan and you couldn't sell more than about 150 bad looks of the crowds yesterday. Pete, what a way to kick off his Everton career for Frank Lampard.
Absolutely, yeah. Biggest win by a new Everton manager in the first game, I believe. So, no pressure, right? But you know, before the players came out, I was looking at the team sheet, and I think initially on Sky Sports they had it down as a 4-2-3-1. I think with Mykolenko right wing, and I thought, no, this isn't right. This is surely looking like a back five, back three. So I went onto social media to see, you know, if there was any sort of alternative, you know, squad list formations, and I couldn't believe the amount of people before the game sort of kicking off about the shape. You know, we're playing a back five. It's like Rafa never left, and all. And I thought, gosh, you know, this game's got to go the right way for him. And I'm just so thrilled it did. But it was such a transformation. You know, I felt really proud watching the performance, because we looked like a football team again. You know, just the body language of the players. It was like, you know, look, we're better than you, and we're gonna beat you. We're gonna play. We're gonna look to get on the ball. We're going to be comfortable. We're going to try and play football. We're going to be aggressive when we haven't got the ball. You know, he spoke really, really well in the sort of the interviews and the presses he's done before the game, Frank Lampard. But I think the team really followed through. You know, I think he's shown he's not just a good talker. It's not just words. You know, his tactics were really spot on. I thought it was such a great performance. And we've got to be careful not to get carried away. But there's just so much to be positive about, isn't there? So much to be positive about. I mean, I thought Andre Gomez just looked transformed. Really did. You know, it was such a confident performance from him. I don't know what's been said to him or, you know, what they've been working on, but he looked like the type of player that could be in the first 11 for us. You know, he was really imposing in that midfield. He really got on the ball. So many positive things came through him. I thought Mykolenko had quite a good game as well, and I was quite pleased for him, really. I thought he took a little bit of pressure off himself, just used the ball well, just played the right pass. I thought they were brilliant, especially when Brentford got a goal back as well. You know, that could have gone the wrong way for us, but we just pushed on and we just kept going. So, I'm oddly looking forward to Newcastle on Tuesday.
Yeah. I think the beauty of yesterday was, like you said, Peter, it was important that obviously when we saw the team sheet and we saw the formation, that we got a good result. I wasn't as maybe as I should have been about getting through. I wanted to see a reaction from the players. I really did. I wanted to see them go out there and want to play for the shirt. Obviously, we wanted to be positive for Frank Lampard, but it did go to game. As much as I thought to myself, listen, if we don't win this, but we show an improvement, Tuesday's the big one. That is what was in my mind. But I went to ground yesterday knowing we were going to win the game. And I haven't felt like that for a long, long time. I just knew we were going to win. It was written in the stars. You know, the atmosphere was incredible. When the players came out, the roar was unbelievable. They played the siren for about half an hour. And then the siren cut off. It went on for that long. And then all of a sudden, Red Cars kicked in. After a short break. I don't know what had gone on there, but it built things up even more. Frank Lampard got announced onto the pitch. I put a video on Twitter, on our Twitter handle yesterday, if anyone hasn't seen it, and the reaction was just incredible again. You know, it showed you, it was probably a bit of relief in a way that we've now replaced the previous manager. We've now got a direction. We know where we're going. So it was all built up, I think, to really help the players. And like the manager said after the game, you know, he knows what Goodison Park is like. He knows that the players are, you know, how much they do need the fans. And when the fans are on side, you know, how important we are. And I think the team got the fans on side quite early. They were, you know, the energy was there, even if, you know, early on maybe the quality wasn't there. But as the game went on, the quality came through. And you mentioned they're playing, obviously, three at the back or five at the back, and you know Rafa had done the same. But it's not always about the formation that you play; it's how you apply that formation. So you can play the same formation as the previous manager, but it's the application, isn't it? And that's the difference. And what he wants us to do, and we saw it yesterday, is be comfortable on the ball, as he said in his early training videos at the start of the week. Enjoy the ball. You've got Andre Gomes and Alan having a lot of the ball. You know, Alan tried a lot of things, I thought, yesterday. You know, a lot of passes, great assists for Richarlison, but a lot of his passes didn't come off. But Frank Lampard said it'll come with time. But we're going from a team that were ultra defensive and looking to play on the counter-attack to now looking to control a game of football, have more of the ball and make things happen. And I thought yesterday, it as the game went on, I thought it really, really shone through. But Chris, what are your initial thoughts on obviously that performance and how Frank Lampard got us to sort of morph from a poorly instructed Everton team, say, to that scene that we saw yesterday?
You know what, I agree with what Pete said. When I saw that lineup yesterday, I was sort of scratching heads thinking, oh no, three at the back again. And Mason Holgate and Michael Keane, you know, they've been quite under par, haven't they, for the last couple of months. So I was a bit worried with them in the back. But everything changed. I think, well, you know, as soon as we kicked off, I think we were a lot more aggressive, you know, in the approach of hunting down the ball. As you said, the passing was brilliant to watch because, you know, the ball retention was so much better than it has been for a very long time, where, you know, we were passing the ball and people were making runs. It wasn't just constant limping the ball forward up front, hoping someone could get a knock on and we could get through that way. It was, you know, it was patience but with a bit of aggressiveness with it. I thought Andre Gomes, you said, and Alan were absolutely brilliant together, which, you know, in past games they've not really gelled and it's not worked with them, you know, together in the midfield. But I thought them two were phenomenal, using Roberto Martinez's quote there. But they were really good, spraying the balls, you know, on the outside, you know, into the middle, making people run off their passes, which we haven't seen in such a long time. And, you know, getting the likes of Gray and Gordon, which I thought both had a fantastic game, probably 10, 15 minutes more into the game once they've sort of worked out what they were doing. And I just really enjoyed the whole sort of, wasn't frantic per se, but just more measured, and like everyone wanted to win the game. It was exciting to see. Future's bright, you know, from looking at that game. I know you don't want to jump the gun too much, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. Other than having to listen to Efan Okoku's commentary, I watched at home, and he was so miserable. It was just something negative about Everton. And it was just, I had to turn it off after a while. Like, no, not the game itself, but I've turned the volume down because it was doing my head in, you know, just constant negativity. Because it was enjoying the game. It was, you know, being, we were up for it. It was something we haven't seen for Everton for such a long time. And having to listen to that idiot go on and on about I scored four goals here and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, shut up. You know what I mean? But I enjoyed it. Everton was just coming together. I should say Mikalenko probably had his best game in an Everton shirt. I know he's only played three games now, but he looked much more measured. As you said, he picked the right passes. There are a few things, obviously, he's got to work on, his positioning and stopping crosses coming in. But, you know, you've got Leighton Baines and Ashley Cole, you know, two of the best left-backs in English football, to work with him on that. So it's good. And it's, like I said, the future's bright going forward. And also, it was great to see a manager on the touchline celebrating goals. You know, like Duncan Ferguson was back when we played Chelsea when he was in charge in the interim. I feel like that brought passion as well, just watching our manager get involved, punching the air, looking at the fans, you know, cheering. That galvanised me as well, you know.
Yeah, the reactions from the manager on the sideline were fantastic to see. It's night and day, isn't it? You know, I think when you look at an Everton manager, you look to feed off them more, you know, more than anything else. And you know, I was watching them, albeit from the top balcony, but I was fairly near the front of the top balcony. I was watching them throughout the game, and even just little things like encouragement, and you know, giving the players, even if something didn't work out, he was sort of behind them, and you know, try it again. I mean, there's a great thread on Twitter. Fantastic, a lad. It's Tactically Everton. People, I'm sure, listen to the show will know him. He breaks down the games really, really well. And he goes through various little passes of play, and what we were looking to do. And he mentioned, we talk about Alan and Gomez there. He mentioned about, obviously, them in particular at certain points, how our centre-halves were trying to give them the ball, even if it wasn't an easy pass, or even if they might have a player in and around them, because the manager wants us to get used to that style of football. Not just, you know, how many times over the last few months have we just been playing long balls, you know, to get out of trouble all the time. He wants our players to be comfortable with the ball at the feet. And we've gone away from that. We've gone away from a possession football team. It's always been, even under Carlo, and Carlo had a lot more nous, and, you know, he played his typical, you know, Italian football, if you like, and, you know, it worked a lot of the time with Carlo. But even then, we would give up possession and look to say counter. But it was better than what we were seeing under Rafael Benitez. But with Frank Lampard now, we're trying to change our style of play and trying to get us used to having the ball a lot more. I mean, the stats for yesterday, in terms of the possession, shots, we led the way in all of those different areas, which was, you know, I can't remember the last time I've actually seen us dominate the game, to be honest with you. I always felt we were in control. There was the odd time, you know, where we probably our own fault, we let Brentford back in. But, you know, you look at the shots, there was we had 14 shots, they've had 4. One of them was a penalty, possession 56% to 44. And it's just, for me, it's just a really positive initial first game for Frank Lampard. I mean, if we go through the goals, unfortunately, we saw Ben Godfrey hobble off with what looks to be a pretty significant hamstring injury. He was carried off pretty early on. So we'll await results on scans on that to see how bad that is. Yerry Mina comes on. Obviously, a fantastic aerial presence. But we saw him quite often because we played 3 centre-halves. Again, on that thread that was put out from tactically Everton, it allowed one of our centre-halves to drive forward into space at times. And I was watching Yerry Mina, and he was trying to get forward as much as he could during the game. And that was great to see. But he comes on, set-piece corner. How often have we been the ones conceding goals from set pieces? Rolls reverse yesterday, great corner from Damari Gray. Yeah, you mean the big man, you know, comes on 6'5", bang, goal. You know, and great to get a goal from a corner. Great to see. And it just, you know, it set us all up, didn't it? People started to relax, I think, a bit more then when we got in front. And I never felt threatened at any point. But what did you, Pete? Did you feel sort of pressurised or under threat at any point from Brentford?
No, I always thought we were the better team, and you always thought we'd look like we could get more goals every time we went forward. I mean, we scored 4, but there were a few chances, particularly in the first half, you know, before we got the first goal, where we were quite unlucky not to score from open play.
Well, and Anthony Gordon had a great chance, didn't he? Sort of lovely football again. He's coming down his left foot, and he's dipped it over the bar, which is a great effort, wasn't he? And you look at Andre Gomez had the one which led to the corner, which then saw us go in front. I think Richarlison was played in, wasn't he, early, and he went with the wrong foot for me and put it over the bar. So the positive signs were there, weren't they, sort of throughout the first half. And as I say, I think the quality sort of grew. So yeah, so overall, I think the first half was quite a positive half, and we say we grew into the game, and like I said, Brentford just weren't really at the races for me. But I think that was a lot of it was down to the pressure that we had put on them as a team, as a collective. You know, we weren't going full on press. The manager was saying we're not going to be a full on press team, are we? People we're going to press in the right area. So when the ball was going wide as opposed to central, Gordon and Gray were going, weren't they?
Well, this is exactly it for me. We played football. We played to our strengths. You know, if you look at the players we've got in that team, we're not set up for a defensive counter attack. We've got too many good football players. You know, never mind what that does psychologically to a player to be asked to play in a certain way. You know, maybe it's not helpful to keep making these comparisons, but given what's happened, it's hard not to. You look at that Chelsea game under Rafa, where we get that 1-1 draw, you know, playing in that way. And then we play Brighton at home and set up again in the same formation. And you think that's what Lampard's got right here. He said, no, look, we're better than these. Get on the ball, play football, move the ball quickly, and you'll beat them. And that gets the best out of these players. And you think that's ultimately for me what's won the game. It's, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of other sort of tactical elements that we could focus on that are important, but it's that fundamental difference for me that he's allowed them to play. He's allowed them to get on the ball and to be attacking and to be positive. And I think we've let too many teams into games by sitting back, being negative. And then all it takes is for, you know, a set piece to go the wrong way or for the momentum to start going against us. And it's so hard to recover. So I think starting the game off that front foot, you know, we're going to dictate play. We're going to get on the ball. We've got the better players. You know, man for man, we're going to match you. When you're on the ball, we're going to press you. You know, come on to us, try and beat us. I think that's what every Evertonian wants to see. And I think that's why we got so frustrated with Rafa. It wasn't just the results. It was the way we just completely capitulated against certain teams. We weren't just getting beat. We were getting hammered by sides. I think every Evertonian rightly knew that we could beat, that we had the players to beat to give a competitive game. And it's, you know, it's nice to see us being so competitive again, so dangerous.
It was good to see. I think it was in the second half, maybe. I think it was, and Gordon was telling Charleston and Great with his hand movement, saying, "Come on, get up forward. Let's get up forward and pressurize these defenders." Because obviously, one of the third goal for the corner was Gordon pressurizing one of the defenders, you know, right on the side of their box, and you know that led obviously to Holgate's goal. But you saw that. But you wouldn't have normally seen that with the Rafa sort of team, would you? They'd sort of take that goal and I think probably move back towards our goal then, wouldn't they, and try and sort of hold that lead. But you just saw the confidence in all the players that I don't think I've seen for a very long time, personally.
I mean, you're always hopeful, aren't you, when a manager comes in that he can change something. And I still had, obviously, reservations as to what the manager was going to do and what he could do. But like you said, Pete, we've got a certain quality of player there. And there's games this season that we've gone into, we've set up a position away, we've been defensive, we've given up ground and possession, and we've lost games to teams that we should never be losing games to. You know, Brighton is a prime example. Watford at home is another example. We say this all the time, go over these games time and again. You know, Brentford away, we shouldn't be going there and playing that way and losing that game. There's so many occasions this season where we've been like that. And we know we've got a certain quality of player. And we know, if you look at the teams on paper, we should be winning a lot more games than we have won. And the little tweaks that Lampard made, I say little tweaks, you know, the style of football is totally different. And these are professional footballers. They're playing at the highest level. I'm sure it won't take long for them to adjust and be totally comfortable, but it will take a little bit of time. But like I said, it's not about the formation that you play at times. It's how you apply that formation. And what is the message in that formation? Is it a defensive message? Is it we sit and we invite them on? Or is it we'll play exactly the same formation, say 3-4-3 or however you want to dress it up. But what we'll do is, we'll press in the right areas and we will dictate play. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. You know, just the second goal, talking about players trying to do different things. Alan, you know, great little ball forward for Richarlison. I was like, I had my head in my hands because every time Alan looking to make a pass yesterday, it just wouldn't come off. And I said to my daughters, he just can't find anyone. You know, the application was there, he was trying a commitment, but he couldn't make a pass at all. But literally within 10 seconds, he did that. Great finish, by the way. There's no one else you want on the team in that position to stick that in. Don't know what the goalkeeper was doing, but it was a fantastic finish from Richarlison. And then, like you said then, Chris, look at the third goal. And it all comes from pressure from Anthony Gordon, doesn't it? You know, he was fantastic again. I thought, you know, the commitment he shows, the desire, the quality that he's got, he's only going to thrive under Frank Lampard for me. Puts a defence under pressure, nicks it off them, crossing, Gray hits the shot, deflected out for a corner. Another set piece. Mina wins the first there. The Holgate there to stick it in from a few yards out. So what happens, though, anyway, when a new manager comes in, is players will often think they've got a clean slate, a new lease of life, if you like, and they can start afresh with a new manager, with a new coaching team. And quite often, Chris, that will be enough of a reaction to get you through those initial games, won't it?
Yeah, but it's the new manager bounce, isn't it? And I think you see it over the years with teams when they've swapped the manager, that the first game is they're all the players are up for it. It's a shame, obviously, we didn't get that with Big Dunk against Villa a few weeks ago, which I thought we would have, but obviously that didn't come, you know, that didn't work out. But in this game, everyone seemed extremely confident. Like I said, when we talk about like the passing of the play, like Mikalenko being a bit more confident, Andre Gomez and Alan being more confident. Yeah, okay, as you said before, passes didn't always come off, but there was the constant trying and not sort of thinking, oh, that pass didn't come off, oh, I'm not going to try that. They tried again. I think there was in the first half, Andre Gomez break through and tried to slip it into Richarlison and it didn't come off. And normally you'd say when we've watched Everton, more or less this season, if they'd done that, we sort of break down and think, well, I'm not going to try that again now. It didn't work out. But we did. We kept on trying those sort of balls, the free balls, sort of trying to link play in their box. There's a few times I thought when Gray sort of broke through on the, you know, outside the box and could have passed it through to Richarlison, but obviously, selfishly, he, you know, saw the goal and went for it. But there was enough confidence, I thought, in that team. But, you know, when they did try things, there wasn't a sort of, oh, I'm not doing it again. There was, right, we're going to try that again, but we'll do it differently. And I'm really excited and sort of happy to see that, but everyone's confident. And, you know, and it has come down from Frank Lampard, sort of his tweaks and his tactics. And obviously the coaching staff he's brought in, you know, a lot of highly rated guys. I feel like, you know, going forward, you know, there's not going to be constant wins and, you know, there's going to be some small bumps in the road. But I feel like if we keep going this way, and obviously, as you say, we could go to this 4-3-3 that people keep saying that Frank Lampard likes. I'm intrigued. It wasn't my first guy that I would have sort of picked, but I'm definitely behind his appointment. And after watching yesterday, I'm really excited to see, you know, where we go forward, you know, not just this season, but next season as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, obviously, it's hopefully going to be a long-term appointment. I said this, I think, last week. If he's there when we get to Bramley Moor, then he's obviously doing a very good job. And that's exactly what we want to see. He's got all the tools. Coaching team's fantastic as well. He's learning all the time as a young manager. Different ideas to what we've been used to. So I'm excited to see where we can go. I really am, as we said, early days. But the gloss on the performance against Brentford was obviously the Andros Townsend goal. Mm-hmm. Three substitutes combined. You know, you look at Chen Tosun came on for his, what, 3 or 4 minutes appearance and managed to get involved with the goal, to a Iwobi little flick, and then Andros Townsend, no one you'd want to, sort of 18 yards out. Than Andros Townsend, you know, sticks it in the goal. And great way to round off the performance, Peter, you know, to come away with a 4-1 win. Like you said, biggest ever win of any new Everton manager in the first game. It rounded things off nicely, didn't it? And gives us a fantastic platform going into Tuesday now.
Yeah, 4 goals, 4 different scorers. Got to involve a lot of what we might call our sort of second string, and hopefully build their confidence and help them feel that, you know, they're involved and they've got a shout, and, you know, they can have competition for places. So it's something of a dream start. I can't remember how many exactly, but I'm sure I read there was something like 30 odd passes in that move, you know.
I think it was 30 passes was what I read as well. And it was going, you know, all around the pitch, most players touching the ball again. Another sign of he wants players to be comfortable with the ball at the feet. And it's just great to see. It was a lovely bit of football, wasn't it? And just being calm on the ball. I know the game was gone and won at that particular point. But even so, it was nice just to knock it around, you know, look good doing it, look comfortable doing it. And then when we sort of see there's a chance to get in, we expose them, didn't we? And we were really, really good in that particular department. So, you know, when we thought there was a chance, we made sure we put that pressure on, played the right ball. I think it was Gomez flipped the ball around the side for Chen Tosun, didn't he? And Tosun brings in a Iwobi and lovely little run from Andros Townsend, and it's a goal. And all signs yesterday were massively positive. Fantastic to see us win a game, first of all. Fantastic to see us win a game and score 4 goals. And great to be in Goodison Park, where you've got all supporters on side, all supporters united, because the crowd didn't stop for the majority of the game. Even when we conceded the penalty, the Everton fans were behind the team straight away after it. I'm sure that the players fed off that, because how many times have we folded in the past when we've conceded a goal like that? So great to see. Best atmosphere I've experienced at Goodison Park, I think, for a good few years, to be honest. And long may that continue. But the hard work continues, you know, games coming thick and fast again. Massive game Tuesday against Newcastle United, who I don't think they haven't played a game for something like 19 days, I think someone was telling me yesterday. So they've had a long break, brought in numerous new players as well. And we're going to discuss that game after this short break. Welcome back to the second part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast, where, like I said, we're going to have a chat now about Tuesday's upcoming game against Newcastle. Massive game in the grand scheme of things. We've had our eye on this game for the last couple of weeks, knowing that the FA Cup was coming up. Obviously excited about that. We know we're not in a great league position, which we need to rectify and rectify quickly. And our first chance to do that under Frank Lampard comes Tuesday at St James's Park against Newcastle, who are currently sitting 19th in the table, only 4 points worse off than us. We're 4 points clear of the relegation zone as things stand. Chris, this is one of your typical relegation 6 points, really, isn't it? If we're going to be brutally honest, we're in a poor position and we dare not lose that game.
We don't want to lose that game, because inevitably we'll get dragged deeper and deeper into that battle. This is a good opportunity to, you know, take 3 points and have some sort of semi-breather between us and the bottom three. And as you say, it's keep that confidence going into the next game against Leeds. But, you know, they have bought some okay players. I think people rave about, you know, Bruno Grimish and say, you know, how good he is in France. I think he's okay. I don't believe the massive hype. I do watch a bit of French league football, and I know a bit about him on Football Manager, but you know, he's a talented player, but he's still got to get to grips with the Premier League, and that all these players they bought, they've also got to gel as well. And as you said, they haven't played for 19 days. I probably think they're a bit more worried now, thinking they probably looked at us yesterday and how confident we played, and obviously now we've played a game before we've played them, so you know, we've had a game under our belts and the confidence is brimming. You know, I mean, I feel like we can go there and challenge them. And I think we can comfortably beat them. It's just obviously, it's not obviously falling into that trap where we get too overconfident and we get rolled over. I don't think we will, but, you know, being an Evertonian and seeing these things time and time again, you do have that sort of little bit of negativity. But I'm fully confident after watching yesterday. And obviously, like I said, we've had a game under our belt now. I think that they'd be more worried players than vice versa.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, when you have a long break, sometimes it can be to the detriment of the team, that's for sure. I know we all obviously missed the game last weekend, but at least we've had obviously the FA Cup game in between as well. So sometimes it doesn't help sides, sometimes it does. They made a few signings. Obviously in and around deadline day, obviously the Bruno that you mentioned there. They got in, was it Dan Byrne from Brighton came in, and then Matt Target from Aston Villa. I think I was going to say Jerry Taggart then, but that was many moons ago. Jerry Taggart was playing for Leicester City. So yeah, so they've obviously got some new faces. That obviously gets the fans up, gets the fans excited, of course. You know, we understand that. But ourselves, Pete, you know, we look ahead to the game. Obviously, great performance against Brentford to get the win. Three new lads, if you like, chomping at the bit to get in that starting 11. You know, Deli was there yesterday along with Donny van der Beek. You've got El Ghazi, who's waiting as well in the wings to come in. Potentially Dom. You know, Dom could be fit for the game. You know, we could be looking to make a few changes there, but do you think the manager will look to make changes for the game, or do you think that those that played the majority of the game against Brentford will get the nod?
I was about to say just that, really, that I think given how well we played yesterday, it gives him a good problem to have. I think it gives him a bit of a dilemma, really. I mean, from what we know about Lampard, you'd think he'd look at Newcastle and think about what system do we need to play to beat them. And I think given the way Newcastle tend to set out with a back four, we'll probably see a 4-2-3-1. Or possibly a 4-3-3, maybe being away from home, you might go with the double pivot and play one of Van der Beek or Ali. I'd be surprised if he put them both in. I think it would be too much to start them both. I think then you are in Football Manager territory. I imagine if one of them came in, it would probably be Van der Beek, because I think although he's not had a great deal of minutes for United. He's probably had a little bit more football than Dele Alli, and when he has played, he's probably been a bit more comfortable than Dele Alli. But I think it's a weird game. I think it's a really, really unpredictable game, because you'd probably say this is the worst time this season to be playing Newcastle. You know, yes, they've had a break, but they've got, you know, fully rested squad, new signings that have come in, bit of time to work with them in training and embed them in. Confidence is probably the highest it will have been for them. You know, new manager, they've managed to get a win, because I think they'd only had one win all season before Eddie Howe came in. And I do think they've bought well. You know, I know some fans might have been a bit underwhelmed by the likes of Byrne, Chris Wood, Target. But I tell you, Matt Target's a solid player. Really good player. And, you know, don't forget, the only reason he's gone out on loan is because Villa signed Luca Dean from us. So that means he's guaranteed to do something effective in the game. I think Trippier is a shrewd signing as well. I think it'll be a really hard game. And I think there could be goals galore, you know, because as well as we played yesterday, there were a couple of moments where I thought a better team might have punished us there. I thought we got away with maybe two or three slightly sort of sloppy or rusty passes across the back line, where you think a better team might have pressed us a little bit harder, or if we did give the ball away on our own half. And it didn't happen a lot, but I think it happened enough where if you were playing a top side, we might have found ourselves getting a bit more punished. So I'm hoping we can just get in and play the way that we played at home, you know, looking to dictate the play, get on the ball, go in with the attitude that we're better and we should be winning, and get the first goal, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's the first goal was always crucial. We said it all season, and, you know, it was nice to actually take the lead yesterday in the game, because we haven't done that very often over the course of this season. And I think that's, you know, maybe the players will show more resilience if they go behind now under a new manager. You know, we don't know until it happens, I suppose. But it's going to be one of those games on a bit of a knife edge. You know, I think, you know, we've got the quality to beat a Newcastle side. You know, like you say, with the new lads, whether he throws in one or both or all three. But I can't see El Ghazi starting a game. I think both Andre Gomez and Alan would feel. Really unfortunate to lose the role in the team. But I mean, Van der Beek has not played a lot of football over the last sort of four to six weeks, to be honest. So whether he's up to speed, who knows? Has Derry played much football? No, not really. You know, he's been a bit part of that Spurs squad. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what impact can they make? Will it be from the off? Who's going to miss out? We know we'll have to obviously change things up because there's no Ben Godfrey, which is a real blow. Taking someone like who's really quick, so worry a little bit about that. Young Mina, ideal against like Chris Wood, height wise. So he'll be in there, I'm sure. Michael Keane again, good in the air. So for those sort of bigger players for Newcastle, it'll be absolutely ideal. But I just hope that we can take that confidence and show our quality against Newcastle. I really do. And if ever we've got to win a game, that's the game. You know, that instantly a win there relieves pressure, and that pressure is then off. You know, and the man just come in. He's won his first two games. The feel good factor continues. The players believe even more in their own ability. You know, the new lads are then going to be you know, in and around the team a lot more and gradually getting more and more game time. And, you know, hopefully Dom's back fit. And if we win the game, it's massive. If we lose it and then they go a point behind us, then we're in trouble. You know, I don't want to catastrophize things, but we are in a difficult position. And this mind is not just going to come in and wave a magic wand and we're all going to be fine again. But it's huge. And I just hope that we can take that little bit of confidence that we gained against Brentford into this game. But what are you thinking, Chris? What do you think how it's going to finish?
You're talking about players that get meaner against Woods and Michael Keane up against the big players. I do worry about Saint-Maximin, and I worry about him against the likes of Seamus Coleman. You know, if he does play on the right wing of him, they usually sort of move him to the middle sometimes, don't they? And he goes off behind the striker. But I think if you look ahead, I think confidence from yesterday's game, we move forward with that. As you say, Donny van de Beek could move in and he could go to a 4-3-3, couldn't he? And use that high press. I'd probably go with more so towards, like, I think, a 2-1. I don't think it'd be such goals galore, but you never know with these sort of games. I think we've just got to keep the confidence and the pressure and all the sort of the great things we saw yesterday when we go there and put them under pressure and put them on the back foot and try and nick an early goal. And, you know, and then they've got to sort of feel the pressure of, you know, their fans and their thoughts that they could get relegated. And if we can sort of make them feel like that, I feel like we could get a good win there and start to push up the league.
Yeah. PC, you're on board with Chris. Do you think it's going to be an Everton win?
I think it's going to be an Everton win, but I'm standing by my goals galore prediction. Big pitch, St. James's Park. And I think what that means, if you go there and you try and play football, there's space. So I'm saying 4-2.
Oh, Jesus Christ, P4-2.
That's good, though. Yeah.
It is on a slant, though. I always say this. The pitch is on a slant. So if you're kicking from left to right, do it in the second half when you're a bit more bit tighter, and it'll help you. I think we'll win. I do think we'll win the game. I'm like you, Chris. I think a bit tighter. I don't think it's going to be comfortable by any stretch of the imagination. I just think the extra quality that we've got within the squad will see us through, you know, and that extra bit of belief. And maybe, like you said, maybe us winning at the weekend and beating Brentford 4-1 has raised a few eyebrows at St James's Park. And then I was thinking, hang on, we're going to be facing a team who've got no kind of form, who is in the doldrums and sinking rapidly to a team who've now changed the manager. It feels fresh. It's all new. Won the last game comfortably. Players are all on board. Everton this week is a different proposition to Everton 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I do think we'll win the game. Difficult game. But one that we, like I said early on, we dare not lose. But we're going to round off the show in a minute. Just have a little chat about what's after Newcastle and the importance of those next few games. Hopefully, as I say, we can keep this winning habit going. But a couple of really important games post Newcastle, and we're going to discuss them after this short break. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast, where, like I said, post Newcastle, we've got a couple. I hate using the term winnable games, but that's what they are. Maybe what they weren't before we've made the managerial change, but what they certainly are now, in my opinion. But I'm going to go into them in loads of detail. But the important thing here, Pete, is to look at them and, you know, make reference to the fact that if we can win those two games, if we can win the next three games, which is a big ask, but if we can win the next three games or even go through those next three games and pick up, say, 5 points or 6 points, that will really go a long way to securing, obviously, our place in the Premier League, but also making sure that the players then start to believe in the quality that they've got and what the manager's trying to do as well.
Definitely. And, you know, it means we can go into that Manchester City game, hopefully not feeling under tremendous pressure to have to get something from that game, or you know, to not get turned over. But I think the next three games, three really difficult games. You know, I don't think you can look at league position and you know, make assumptions. Or I think there's a lot of Evertonians who'll be looking at the next three games thinking, well, we should have 9 points there. You know, we should be winning all three of them. I mean, Leeds are a bizarre team in that even when they get beat, they still give you a really tough game. Mm. You know, because of the way they play and the way they're coached. And I think Leeds' downfall this season has just been a bit of bad luck with some key personnel, because you look at their squad and you wouldn't say they're a squad of Premier League players. They've got three or four very good players, you know, like Calvin Phillips, Harrison, Bamford, who you know, has really struggled this season with injuries. Obviously, Rafinha is probably the one that people would pluck out of Leeds for their own side the most. But they're going to give us a really hard game, a really physical game. And Southampton as well, they're a funny side. And they're either on or they're off for me. They can give anybody in the league a game on the day. You know, how many times have you seen them surprise Manchester City or just dig their heels in and become really difficult to beat? But then other games to go completely missing and can get absolutely turned over. So there's so many unknown quantities. And like we were just saying about Newcastle, Lampard's got a bit of a dilemma in figuring out who his best team is. And, you know, is he going to be the type of coach that is sort of has the pragmatism of Carlo, where we might see different systems week to week and players being rotated? Or is he going to be the type of coach that looks to set us out with like an Everton identity and a particular way that we look to play in most games? And, you know, all of these sort of variables are going to unfold over the next few weeks. And I think for the neutral, it's going to be a lot more interesting and exciting than it is for most Evertonians. But I'm quietly confident that, as you say, Mike, we can come out of those games with hopefully 6, 7 or possibly even 9 points. But I think they're going to be three really, really tough games. And I think we'll need a bit of luck with our squad as well in terms of injuries.
I think we've got to learn, haven't we, as fans, especially this season, that winnable games, like I said, just at the start of this particular section, you know, there's no such thing as a winnable game. We have to sort of taper our expectations, I think, sometimes, especially as I say, what we've seen this season. But I'd still like to think that what we've got within the squad now, especially with those acquisitions that have been made, especially with the change of style and the application of the tactics that the manager is looking to bring in, that will bear fruit even more as the season goes on. The sooner that we can get points on the board, the easier that it will be for the players to settle and to feel confident, because you've still got that element of pressure because of where we are, how many points we've got. The fact that these three teams that we're going to be playing over the next three games are in and around us, really. I mean, Southampton are a little bit further clear, but like the Leeds, you know, one place above us. Newcastle, as I say, are only 4 points below us. So these next two games, more than anything, will go a long way to sorting things out. But how important is the squad going to be, Chris? Because we mentioned the quality that we've managed to bring in, the quality that's been there throughout the season for me. You know, we've the likes of Demarai Gray is having a really good season. Andros Townsend has scored 7 goals. Richarlison's finding a bit of form. You know, we know Dom will score goals once he gets back to full fitness. The quality's always been there, but how important is it going to be to utilise the squad and the squad players over the next few weeks as well?
It's obviously keeping the confidence up, obviously, from the weekend, isn't it? And obviously, fingers crossed, we can keep majority of the players, the key players, fit now to the end of the season. Obviously, unfortunate for Ben Godfrey, and then hopefully, you know, we find something out either today or tomorrow and it's not long term, because obviously we need him, you know, in the back line. But, you know, it's keeping that unity, isn't it, within the players, and going off what Frank Lampard sort of preaches in training and explains, you know. And I think us as fans need to be give a bit of patience, you know, guiding through this. But going forward, you know, if, like I say, if we can keep Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin fit, we can keep Alan fit. Because obviously I think we need to keep Alan fit. The Corey not being there and being that sort of sole protector as well, it's sort of he's priceless in that middle, isn't it? Because we don't have anyone else that can chase and pick a ball up and break up play like Alan, other than Decore. And it's keeping these sort of key players fit. And like I said, but keeping that confidence and the flow of confidence going forward, where, you know, we can go to the likes of Newcastle and hopefully we can pick up a win. Then we've got Leeds coming to us. It is Leeds coming to us, isn't it? Yeah, I am right there.
Yeah, Leeds coming to us next.
But I think though as well though, you can look back at when we drew them 2-2 last season as well as this season, and I think there's sort of ways we can attack Leeds. You know, last season when we went there, we sort of pressurised them and high pressed them, didn't we? Unfortunately, Rafinha seems to like playing against Everton because he likes to always score past us, doesn't he? But I feel like if we put like the likes of Leeds under the pressure, they buckle a bit. But like I said, Pete said before, they're never out of game even when they're losing, and you know we have to be careful. And obviously going forward, Southampton, as you say, we beat them first game of the season, and obviously things have changed between like us and them. But I feel like it's just confidence, isn't it? Keeping these players fit, keeping them happy. Frank Lampard sort of tuning up what he wants out of the team. We've got, obviously, as you say, the three new guys, El Ghazi, Donny van der Beek, Dele Alli, to sort of put into the sort of the formation. And I just think, like I say, it's keeping these players fit, keeping them happy and organised. And I also say patience. I think patience is the main thing here. I know we want wins, and I know we want to get away from relegation zone as quickly as possible with only having, what, 18 games left. But I feel like we have to have that patience where, you know, we're not always going to go into a game and beat a team, even though they are winnable games. But as you say, not all games aren't really winnable this day and age. I think looking at, you know, the last couple of seasons, anyone beats anyone these days, unless you're Man City or Liverpool. But, you know, they've been beaten by lesser teams, per se. But like I say, it's just confidence and patience. And let Lampard put what he wants into the team. And you know, and we can just push on and keep that confidence. I think I keep saying confidence, but I think that's like the main thing, isn't it? It's the confidence going forward.
Most definitely. And I think that the key message there, which is totally correct, you know, we can't go into every game and expect to win it. Just because we've got a new manager, we're not going to win every game as well. And we've got to have as much patience as we can over the next few weeks, especially, you know, to make sure that we're back in the team and understanding that he's trying to change things for the better. And it will just take a little bit of time for players to adjust to what he wants to do. It worked really well yesterday, but like you said, Pete, maybe against the better side. A couple of times where Brentford got in, didn't he? Especially on our right hand side, Ivan Toney did it for the penalty. But another couple of times he got in exactly the same position and caused problems. So little things that will obviously we'll be working on, I'm sure, but will take a bit of time just to adjust to. But I just feel that the next sort of couple of weeks can go a really long way to shoring things up in terms of our Premier League status, first of all. But also, you know, it'll give Frank Lampard a really good idea about what he's got to work with when the pressure's on and who can handle the pressure, because the pressure's there, of course, and it goes one of two ways. Either we relieve that pressure a little bit and sort of by the back end of February when we face Manchester City at Goodison Park, that is more of a free hit and, you know, there's no real pressure on that game, or the players struggle a little bit and we come out of the next few games, maybe you would say 2 or 3 points, and the pressure is then still on, and that City game has got a fair bit riding on it. So it's going to be intriguing to see. Like you both mentioned already, that the confidence, I think, in the fan base is returning a little bit, even after just one game. But the feel-good factor is certainly coming back. It feels like a weight was lifted yesterday. The connection between fans and players was certainly back. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful the next few weeks we can see Everton pull themselves away from trouble, and hopefully we can go into their March in a much better position and looking up and not looking down. You know, that's the key thing. That's not if we do win these games, let's not rest on our laurels. Let's keep pushing and pushing and see what we can do for the rest of the season. But big few games ahead. We've said it so many times this season. We've had a lot of chances to get ourselves out of trouble. Games that we should have won and either threw away or didn't turn up, and you know, mistakes are being made, etc., etc. It's time to sort of wipe that slate clean and as I say, push on and get up the table and don't be looking over our shoulders. But that's us for this week. Chris, really appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Welcome anytime, mate. And we will be back ourselves next weekend, post Leeds United, looking back on and hopefully a winning week for the Blues. So we will we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.